You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Another Cooling In's World Cup, Women's World Cup Daily.
Let's go.
We could just say World Cup Daily. You know which World Cup we're talking about.
Okay, don't ever forget about it. It's all good.
That's right. We've got an amazing show for you today. Carly Lloyd is here. No, I'm kidding.
That's good TV right there.
Hey, you're welcome on the show whenever. You know, we got some questions.
I'm sure you have some questions as well.
100%. You might not like our culture, but you're welcome on whenever you want.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cool Games Women's World Cup Daily. My name is Christian Polanco.
Yeah, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And today we're going to be doing a nice quarterfinal preview. We're gonna have to do this show through the tears of not seeing the U.S. Women's National Team there. But you know, we still got work to do.
Hey, let them all fight for second place in the world. You know what I mean? shouts to the teams that are still there. Some incredible, incredible squads. Yeah, the U.S. isn't in it. And I'm sure Fox is not happy about it. But there's still a lot of reasons to watch, man, because we're gonna pick probably who we think has the most exciting next round match. And there's so many teams to pick from. So many good teams.
Exactly. So we had our you know, first day off in a long time yesterday because there were no match days. And, you know, we all just kind of recovered from the wild, you know, group stage matches and the early knockout matches and stuff like that. So this has been a World Cup of not only just like entertaining matches, but just the conversation around the game has been, I think, leveled up where it's gotten to a place of attention and respect and also toxicity. And it feels like we're getting to a place of, I don't know if it's equality. I don't know what it is exactly, but it is. The vitriol is there.
The haters are treating the league with the same amount of disrespect.
Yeah.
But we're getting it from a higher level. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And by the league, I mean the competition. But I think this is, you know, we said this last Women's World Cup, where it felt like a little bit of a kind of a turning of the corner. You know, there was a certain level of respect that was placed on the competition that I don't think we felt prior. And I think this one is yet another level.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing it continue. And I think a lot of respect and a lot of adoration should go to New Zealand and Australia for putting together a so far wonderful competition. We haven't heard of any issues with tickets and fans getting in and yada, yada, yada. It's been seamless from their part. The timing stinks. You got to move your island to somewhere where the time zone works better for us.
You got
to. I don't know. Where science is on island moving, work on it.
There has to be some sort of service, DoorDash delivery type island moving service.
I put out an RFP, and a company named OceanGate has told me they have the capabilities. They're going to go to Home Depot.
We got
to
look into this.
They're going to get together the appropriate technology to literally move Australia, New Zealand,
and I'm sure
a little bit closer to America.
You know what? I'm not even going to look at the Google reviews because I'm sure they're amazing. Okay,
you know what? Don't, because it's filled with haters. It's filled with haters.
Thank you.
Oh, people miss it. Whatever, bro.
Look at all these Karens in the reviews. You know?
Yeah, dog. Hey, you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So let's. Oh man, this is on brand for
it's the Cooligans.
This
buddy.
Is how you start a Cooligans episode. Right here. This is what happens when you give us a day off.
Somebody in the comments. Somebody in the comments yesterday was like, "Yo, you guys need to just talk about football. You guys do too much nonsense up top." Yes, that's it. You're right. This is the show.
Yeah. And also, the show's purposely built to do too much nonsense up top.
Literally, our producers are like, "All right, there's too much nonsense. You guys do maybe a little less, but this is good that you started with nonsense." All right.
Yeah. We have a certain bar to hit.
Now we can move forward and talk about the quarterfinal matches that we are most excited about. So let's get right to it.
Let's tell everyone which. Okay, so you have it up so everyone can see. I don't think there's any team here that feels like they don't deserve to be there. The biggest surprise might be, Colombia.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I haven't seen anything where it feels like they sort of backed into this. None of these teams have, sort of failed upwards. You know what I mean? This is, we're now getting to the point where like, all right, any of these teams could potentially take the competition.
Even like Sweden has been, one of the teams that are unbeaten in the tournament. But there's a little bit of, I mean, they didn't failing upward is not the word, but they were completely dominated by the U.S. in that game and penalties be penaltying.
Hey, didn't break. You know what I mean?
No.
It's a tactic. It's not the one I would go with, but it's a tactic.
And it worked perfectly. So, but in general, obviously, the quarterfinal matches will be Spain against Netherlands, Japan, Sweden. On the left side of the bracket, and on the right side of the bracket, it's Australia, France, and England, Colombia. At least for me, the game I am definitely most excited about is England against Colombia. This is going to be a match where I really, England are now the odds have, the gambling odds have changed a lot with especially the U.S. being out of it. England.
That shifted everything.
Yeah. England is now, I believe, the favorites to win. And I think, so England are the favorites, but essentially this match against Colombia, especially with how England played against Nigeria, I would argue Colombia are probably I've said this a few times, but they're just a well balanced team defending and on offense. And I don't even know if it's necessarily an upset. It'll definitely be a shock because no one expects England to lose against almost any South American team. But I think they can do it. I think this game is going to surprise a lot of people. Obviously, we have players like Linda Caicedo, who are one of the stars of this tournament. But I'm really, really excited about it. And not only because I'm Colombian during World Cups. It's not just that.
It's important to note is that you get a passport for the month.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a cool new service that Colombia is offering.
Yeah. Are you guys having trouble getting visas? Weird. I think what sucks is I think Colombia has a very well-balanced team. They have the skill set at each level, whether it's defending, midfielders, or up top, to play with and potentially beat England. The problem I have, and it's not necessarily to do with on the pitch, is if England loses, there is a fear of mine that the fandom and the fanfare around the women's game in England would somehow be hurt by it. You know? Well, they'd be like, maybe they're not as good as we thought.
Right.
And maybe that momentum shifts. So for that reason and that reason only, the reason why I single out England is because I think Colombia has done enough now to really inspire Colombia. Obviously, those fans want to win. But I'm saying is they've caught the attention and the wonderment of their nation. We've heard that from Melissa Ortiz. We've heard that from so many of the fans. So I think now, if it's simply talking about off the pitch, if they were to lose, it wouldn't be seen as a detriment to the sport. I think they've done what they were going to do in order to build the sport up, especially in Latin America and Colombia. In England, in a league that I think is essential to the success of the women's game in the WSL, I would like this, feel good feeling to continue. But that's probably not enough.
Yeah, yeah, that's an interesting aspect, and I think it's maybe something unique to the women's game of, like, there's a little bit of struggle Olympics. Like, who's struggle? Who's really struggling more? Who's it gonna mean for?
Yeah.
Who's
who needs this more? You know?
Who's dealing with the most toxicity and misogyny in their country that this would help, you know, fix that or repair that a little bit or sort of turn the tide a little bit? And it's an interesting aspect. It shouldn't be one that is a factor.
It shouldn't be. And let me make it clear. I'm not suggesting that England should win because of that. I'm simply talking about the effect and how, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the English fandom only continues from here. And they understand that their team is dealing with not only a lot of injuries, but now a very significant red card. Yeah. So maybe there's enough.
And we still haven't gotten I haven't seen anything about what the Lauren James punishment is going to be. As of right now,
we know it's this next
it's
game.
It's just one
for
game.
Sure.
Yeah. So I haven't heard anything else. She did apologize.
She did.
And maybe that's enough for FIFA to be like, all right, okay, you feel bad about it, so maybe it's not going to be more than just one extra game. So we shall see. What game
for
are you?
Me,
yeah,
yeah. I was going to say for me, it's Japan. Okay. Japan's next match. I just want to see, is it real? I know what we're going to get out of Sweden. They're not all of a sudden going to be tiki-taka all over the pitch. We know what we're going to get. I think Japan in previous matches have shown how incredible they are on the counter. How their transition game is crazy, crazy efficient. Look, Miyazawa, for a lot of people, came out of nowhere. For me in particular, I wasn't aware of her before this tournament, at least not to a high level. I've heard of her on the national team. But for her to be this effective right now, Golden Boot leader, absolutely incredible. For me, they also showed in their previous match that they are okay. They have tactics to have possession, and it feels like they're going to get a lot of possession in this game because Sweden is just like, hey man, we don't want to touch it unless we're clearing it. You know what I mean? So to me, I think it's really going to be about whether they can break down Sweden. Another reason why I want Japan to win is because, yo, retribution from Spain. I feel like they could potentially beat Spain in the semifinal.
Yeah.
But it would be what a matchup.
What a rematch.
What an absolutely incredible rematch.
Yeah, and I'm rocking my Japan rugby kit.
Rugby. Yeah.
Which I got when I was in Japan, which was dope. I'm excited about this game too. I think I have this feeling that Japan are absolutely going to wipe the floor with Sweden.
So I get that feeling too.
I mean the way they've handled every team that is, not only are they like, they're not squeaking by with a 1-0 win. They're beating teams that control the game and have possession, and they're beating teams with possession and with control. So clearly there's a lot of versatility there.
Well, they're undefeated in the World Cup so far, and they've scored 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 goals. Do you know how many they've given up?
Maybe what? One? Only one?
One goal.
Wow.
One goal to Norway. They beat Zambia 5-0. They beat Costa Rica 2-0. They beat Spain 4-0. They beat Norway 3-1. I mean, this is that 4-0 against Spain. That was unprecedented. That was Japan's coming out party, bro. That's when we were like, oh, they for real.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, look, I just think the Japan, they're going to send Sweden back to the Swedish Alps to chill, bro. Okay? They're about to chill over there.
If only we could figure out a way to tell them how to chill. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cold, crisp Coors Light.
That is the move. And they're going to send Sweden back home. They can go ski or snowboard in the mountains that they enjoy so much. And, you know, hopefully those mountains are blue and let them know that the mountains are cold enough to finally ski or snowboard on, okay?
If only real mountains actually did that. If only real mountains just turned blue when you know they were ready to chill on.
That's why Coors Light is ahead of the game, because the mountains they turn blue when it's cold enough to drink. And then Sweden, they can even start watching League's Cup and catch up with the whole tournament.
Oh, we've got goalkeepers doing magic tricks. We've got goalkeepers miming. Okay, what you need to be watching Leagues Cup. So if you're the Swedish women's national team and you get bumped out by Japan, hey, get on the plane as early as possible so you can go home, drink a little bit of Coors Light, kick your feet up, rest them dogs. They've been barking in this whole tournament.
That's right.
Rest them puppies and pop open a nice cold Coors Light. Hit the Apple TV button on your Apple TV and watch some of this incredible Leagues Cup competition.
Exactly. So this summer, stay passionate and stay refreshed with a nice cold Coors Light, the official beer of Leagues Cup 2023. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That is CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Let's go. All right.
The crowd goes wild.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
We should look at this next. I mean, the as far as these quarterfinal matches, we asked ourselves the question, who has the easiest path to the final? And also, who might have the hardest path to the final? It's a probably difficult question to ask because I think, in general, these teams have... There's no clear, I don't know, standout favorite or whatever. Like I think, like we said up top, like teams that maybe don't necessarily belong there or whatever. But we can ask the question, what's the easiest and sort of hardest path to get here? So let's start with maybe the easiest. Who has the easiest path to the final, Alexis? Who do you think?
To me, Japan. They're playing Sweden in what you could argue is the least dynamic team left in this competition. And they've already beaten Spain. So you would assume Spain beats Netherlands. And they've already beaten them. So I'm sure they could do it again. Because of that, I would have to say Japan probably has the easiest. Not to say it's easy in any way, shape, or form. But that to me would be the easiest. Because if you look at let's say, a Colombia or England, you win that game, which is going to be tough, right? They're both very good teams, both very dynamic. Then you got to go up either the host or France, a team with a real chip on his shoulder, to try to win this whole thing.
Yeah, it's a tough. I mean, I think it's all relative, right? Because Japan is probably the strongest team out of the 8 teams remaining. So it feels weird saying anyone else. You know, I guess maybe the second closest, quote unquote, easiest path, I guess might be, it has to be on the left bracket. So I would have to say Spain. Spain is the closest one of whoever is getting out of the left bracket seems to be a little bit of a, like, just
it's softer.
Yeah. I mean, and not by much by any means. So Spain to me is probably the closest of the path.
You could make an argument that England would have it easier if it wasn't for Australia being the host nation. No, that stadium is gonna be rocking if they beat France.
But you think there's no way they beat France, right? I mean, France are really good. They had a couple.
I could see them beating France.
They had a couple rough games in the group stages, but for the most part, I mean, look at the game, the last game. Who they played? They played against Denmark. Oh no, sorry, they played against Morocco, and they just made. I mean, Morocco. They lost 6-0 to Germany, but then beat Colombia. But in this game, you thought they wouldn't lose 4-0, right? You thought they would just,
yeah.
The heart alone, the story alone, would get them to be a little bit more competitive. But France just was like, nah, bro, like,
nah, we ain't feeling it.
We conquered your country before. Yeah. We're gonna do it again. Like, they
we don't really care about your cute little story, bro.
It was a disaster for them. So France, I think, have kind of turned things around at the right time and look really, really sharp. The especially the forward, Diani,
Yanni's incredible.
Great. I mean, she looked great throughout the entire tournament, but just really, really dominant. So as far as I guess hardest path. So now this is, I mean, we sort of already answered it. But who has the hardest path? I guess it would, you would have to feel for Colombia, right? I mean, if they beat England.
No, I would. Here's why I disagree. Because okay. Colombia is an underdog. They're the underdog. Maybe even your dark horse, but they're the underdog. Mm-hmm. So it's going to have to be hard when you're the underdog, right?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, but, look, but you're the underdog because people do not think you can beat these teams.
So then, by virtue, it's not that. I mean, it's not a surprise that it's hard. You know what I mean?
No, it is not a surprise. but that's the argument I'm making.
To me, it's like, yeah, but like I guess you're prepared for it, you know?
Sure, but if they beat England, that would be wild, right? I mean, people would generally be shocked and very, very, very.
I'm kind of done being shocked in this tournament.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Same here. I agree.
I'm kind of like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Whoever wrote the script for this simulation,
yeah,
but really having a good time.
If Colombia go on to beat England, and then let's say France beats Australia, and they also beat France and get
no,
to
that's
the final.
Unprecedented. That, yeah, you're then, okay, I see what you're meaning. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That would be just an unbelievable story. You make a Netflix doc as soon as the final whistle blows. You know what I mean? And in
Bro,
the final.
Send the cameras to Australia right now, just in case.
You got to do it. So it would just be a tremendous, tremendous story. Even if they just get to the final, which would be insane. But
Melissa might explode live on camera.
I'm like, oh, okay, we need a replacement Colombian because this one spontaneously combust.
Bro, legitimately put her on an IV if they win the next match. It's going to be bananas.
We're rooting for it. It would be an incredible story. The last thing I wanted to talk about, because this has been a, you know, especially with the U.S. women's national team getting knocked out of the tournament, there's just now the storylines begin. You know, obviously a lot of people weren't happy with Vlatko. A lot of people weren't happy with the players. And we know when it comes to World Cups and you know, players getting older, there's obviously going to be a new generation involved. But then the question now that a lot of people are asking is who should coach the U.S. women's national team in the future?
Big question.
And, you know, a lot of times for the last 12 years, we've generally had a, you know, Jill Ellis was at the helm.
Yep.
Winning World Cups. No, there's nothing to really complain about, even though some people were still complaining, even though they were winning. but now the question begins, who should coach this team? And our homie, Doug McIntyre, who was on the show about 2 weeks ago, put his 10 coach candidates, and we're looking at the list on the screen.
So if you had to pick one.
Yeah, I mean,
you really don't have that much time before the show's over.
Yeah, yeah. Some
you
of the names,
one.
Some of the names, obviously, that are here, obviously, Jill Ellis, Serena Wiegmann, the coach of England, Pia Sundhage, who coaches, also coached the U.S. already. Yeah. But a couple of interesting names, Laura Harvey, who I believe has worked with you. I think she was an assistant before. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I think she was an assistant with the U.S. women's national team in the past.
Also, Steve Harvey's daughter, dated future. No?
Right, yeah. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I'm here. I'm hearing no. It's a different.
It's a love, a great backstory. Casey Stoney, who's the coach for
okay,
the
pick
Diego
one.
Wave. Pick one.
You have to name them all.
The
they
one,
can look it up.
The one that is probably the most experienced with the U.S. women's national team already feels like Laura Harvey is like next in line.
Yeah,
but
also like young, 43 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Which is what? A year older than Megan Rapinoe.
But I like Emma Hayes a lot. She's the coach of Chelsea and just a very big personality. And obviously Chelsea, one of the you know, best women's coaches in the world right now. And truly, I just love her personality and character, where it's just like there's a lot of passion. It seems to be a lot of accountability. To me, it's a healthy balance. And I'm basing it on like the games I've seen and I'm watching, you know, the Women's Super League and all this other stuff. There's a healthy balance of like the authoritarian kind of coach and like the coach that players like. So Emma Hayes, to me, sort of has that personality a little bit. So I like that her a lot. And
that's how much she's beloved. The fans of the men's Chelsea team wanted her to coach the men's team after they got rid of Graham Potter, which goes to show how much they love her. I would say Serena Wegman, highest paid women's manager in the country, in the world. Mm. So who could pay more than the U.S. men's the U.S. soccer? No one.
Really? You don't think? All right.
I'm just saying that and hoping that it comes true. Because there's so many
U.S. soccer's watching. They're like, oh man,
I didn't know we had. I didn't know we had it like that, bro.
Okay, but that,
just that, ask the media. The media is up from Future.
The media is saying we have all this money. I guess we gotta pay.
I guess we gotta spend it.
The mainstream media, the Cooligans. We all know they're the mainstream media.
The gotcha media is inside of our funds. She's won each of the last two European titles that are tournaments that she's been a part of. Obviously with the Netherlands and then with England. Absolutely incredible. She's only lost one of her 27 major tournament matches all time as a coach. I mean, clearly, especially with the way this England national team plays, it doesn't matter how many injuries they have. They seem to put players in positions where they succeed. Yeah. And that is something we have been very critical of Vlatko. So for me, that's probably the next step. Get Serena Wegman in here. One, you take her away from the English national team, which makes them weaker, and you make us stronger. Okay. And they're our main competition. So
interesting. I mean, look, if England end up winning the whole thing, I don't think it'll be that easy for her to let go of the job.
You won already. And with that, with these dusty lionesses, imagine.
Okay, wow.
With the great America. I'm not saying that's what I'm thinking.
No.
That's how you have to sell it.
They're holding, you know, the World Cup trophy, and they're dusty as hell. I mean, that's going to be our narrative.
Bro, imagine winning it in the United States of America. Country so great that half the country hates you regardless of whether you succeed or fail.
Okay, we got
it sells itself.
Got something different to offer. It's incredible, all right?
Bro.
It'll be interesting because I think in the next few days, we'll probably, maybe after the World Cup, we might hear of a change in leadership for U.S. soccer for on the women's side. And this is a part of this story, and it's an interesting aspect. And then now with the next World Cup, we don't know where it's going to be, but some people also saying it might be in the U.S. Possibly, or like or similar to U.S. Mexico Canada, they might try to.
That would be huge.
Like that would be huge. So we shall see. I think this is a very interesting and transformative time for U.S. women's soccer, but we're excited to see it. All right, we'll wrap up there. We have some news. Alexis, you'll be going on vacation starting tomorrow.
That's the wrong button. Okay, I thought that was the...
This is the button right here.
You guys get it. Okay.
Why didn't it play?
Nothing played. Okay, maybe enough with the buttons. Yes, I'm going away. First break I'm taking from all of this damn content in a long time. So I'm just going away with the wife. It's not, you know, there's a little bit of an emotional part of the trip. She has to go visit some family.
There it goes.
At the perfect time, as I'm saying, she has to go visit family. I think that's why we stopped using the stream to hit the buttons. We get to go away. So for 2 weeks, I will be not on Morning Footy and I won't be on the show. So nice break. I get to wake up at a normal time. Arsenal versus Nottingham Forest, which is Matt Turner playing against his old team.
Yeah,
that's at 7:30 a.m. on the East Coast. But that is the day I land, and it is at a nice, reasonable time in Europe.
Okay. So we're gonna be having, obviously, enjoy your time off.
Thank you.
We will be having a bunch of guest hosts throughout the rest of the World Cup. So obviously, stick around. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and we got some really big names, much more popular than Alexis Guerrero's.
Ah,
quite happy about it.
You guys got Carrot Top?
character.
Damn.
I mean, I didn't want you to spoil it, but man.
Damn.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. So we have a bunch of really, really awesome folks lined up. So make sure you tune in. Obviously, as always, subscribe to the Cooligans Women's World Cup Daily right here on wherever you listen to the podcast, on YouTube, every podcast platform. Follow us on all social platforms at Soccer Cooligans. Make sure you download
the
podcast.
Hit that download button. Yeah. Come on.
I mean, what are you? It's we've told you every single day for the last like 20 some odd days. Just do what we tell you to do. Okay. I mean,
yeah. What's the problem? If we said jump off a bridge, you'd say how high?
Yeah, yeah. If I say jump off, if we tell you jump off a bridge, just say, all right, should I hit the subscribe button on the way down? That's all.
100%. Download on the way down.
That's it. Okay. It's very obvious, very easy. So thank you everybody for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. A lot of, again, fun episodes coming through. Just a couple of these quarterfinals, the semis, and then the final. We're going to be doing really something special for the final as well. We appreciate y'all. Thank you everybody for chilling with us. It's been great. We will see you tomorrow with a fun game. Guessos. So I'll be back, and Alexis will be enjoying his vacation. All right, everybody. Peace. I'll see you tomorrow.
Love you guys.